I'm going to read a couple of those verses to you again from Matthew. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our Redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, my mom was a great cook. She taught me that only lazy or incompetent people would ever use a mix. In fact, I didn't even eat a frozen dinner until I went to college, and I did it as an act of rebellion to show her that if you ate frozen food that someone else prepared, you wouldn't die from it. But because of the way she taught me, I learned to cook from scratch as well. In fact, I think those TV shows, you know, where they just give you a few ingredients and they say fix something, I think I could be on one of those shows. I think I could get the task done. Now, I don't know if I'd win, but I think you could give me any ingredients and I could make something that was at least edible. She taught me very well. And so one of the things that she taught me to make was pie crust from scratch. Here's the way she taught me. You just get some flour and you sift it in the bowl. How much? Well, you know, just the amount you need. And then you get some shortening, not too much, not too little, just enough to put it down into that flour. Then you get a little salt, about that much, not more, not less. And then you get all that and you get your pie pastry blender and you go like this with your shortening and your flour and you make sure that when you're mixing it up, all the little kernels come out just the same. And if they're too big, you need more flour. If they're not big enough, you need more shortening. That's the way we learned. And then after that, I had to get water and put that in there, not too much or not too little, because you see, if there was too much water, then the crust would be tough. If there was too little water, then it would just fall apart. So it had to be just the right amount. And then after that, the great and exciting part came. Take all that big blob of dough out of that bowl, put it on a floured surface, and roll it out. And so I would roll that, and I don't know how many times that whole crust just went all the way around that rolling pin. It was like getting wrapped around the axle. And I would get so discouraged. And finally, one day, I just had it. We had tried this so many times. And I finally just said, "I'll never get this right. It's too hard. I give up." And my mother, sainted woman that she was, said, "Now that's no way to talk. You just have to keep trying. And you'll never get it right if you give up. So watch me and we'll do it again." So I tried again, and over the years, I did finally learn how to make pie crust from scratch, although never, never as good as hers. But she encouraged me, and she stood beside me, and we persevered together until I finally got it. And to this day, I believe my mother was the best and least anxious pie crust maker I ever met. Now, I'm still pretty good at making pie crust, not as good as she is or was. But I'll tell you this, she was able to teach me to make pie crust not because she was such a good pie crust maker, but because she was a teacher who encouraged me and in whom I could put my trust. Now, today's story is well known by nearly every Christian, I believe, and it's found in all the Gospels except for Luke's. And each of those three other Gospels states it a little differently. But in all three, This story follows the feeding of the 5,000. You know that story, where Jesus and the disciples feed over 5,000 people in one day with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. Now, you know that the disciples must have thought, we are totally rock stars. Look what we did. And I know that they wanted to talk to Jesus after all of that was over and say, how'd we do that? Wow, wasn't that the greatest thing ever? And so at the end of the day, Jesus said, you guys get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to go over here and pray by myself. I'll meet you later. And the disciples must have been really, really disappointed, but they were good disciples, and so they got in the boat and they started across the water, and Jesus, like he always did, just went off to pray by himself. So the disciples get into the boat, and pretty soon, when they're far from the land, a big wind came up and there were waves, and they were having to fight all that water going everywhere, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of them looked up and said, it's a ghost! But then finally they realized it was Jesus. He was walking on the water. And Jesus looked at them and said, don't be afraid, it's just me. And that's where the gospel accounts start to differ. In Mark chapter 6, when the disciples realize that it really is Jesus and not a ghost, they just clam up. They don't say a word. They just start rowing and they get to the other shore. In John chapter 6 also, what happens to them then is that they immediately go to the other shore, but there's still not any conversation. But in Matthew's gospel, it's different. What happens is this. Jesus comes walking across the water, and Peter says, oh yeah, it's you? Well, why don't you let me come out there and walk on the water with you? And Jesus says, well, come on. Now, they're men. You know that's how they do. And so then verse 29 says this. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately takes him by the hand and saves him. Now, what happened here is that Peter experienced a little success until he realized that he was doing something he had never done before. And so when Jesus pulls him up out of the water, he says, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? And they climb back into the boat together. The wind dies down. The other disciples worship Jesus, and they say he's the Son of God, and that's the end of the story. But is it really? Is there more to this story than meets the eye? Of course there is, because it's a story about Jesus. Now, Jesus was willing to help Peter achieve something miraculous, but Peter got discouraged by the wind and the waves, and his discouragement turned into fear. When Peter realized that Jesus could actually help him learn to do something that seemed impossible, he got scared and he sank like a stone. And how many of us have done that same kind of thing? How many of us, when faced with a challenging situation, get scared when it looks like we might actually be making some headway? And what on earth causes us to act like that? Why do we become mired in the difficulty of the task, even when we know God is right there waiting to save us if we need help? That God is right there encouraging us in this task. How many of us turn back from the promise of hope because something looks hard? How many of us turn back when we are obviously making progress? Why does who we've always been look better to us than who we might become? Jesus promised to make us new creations, and most of us spend our lives trying to stay the same. Jesus doesn't call us to stay the same. Jesus calls us to walk in faith to put fear behind us, to look at Him and listen to the sound of His voice instead of listening to the sound of voices that send a message of fear and discouragement. Most of us start to sink when we see that path ahead opening and we see how big the future could be. Most of us, when given a chance, would say, Jesus, get in here in the boat with me right now. I'm afraid. Make this stop. Only Peter, the smart aleck, the rebellious one, challenged Jesus to change him, and Jesus willingly complied. Peter took a huge risk getting out of that boat that day. You didn't see any of the other disciples getting out of the boat, did you? You see, they preferred the danger of rough seas to the danger of the unknown. Most people would rather remain in hard circumstances instead of moving into a place that they've never been. It's my experience that those who show progress in walking a new path are the ones who not only have a good teacher and encourager, but who also trust their teacher. I can't emphasize that enough. Trusting Jesus, I believe, is the most important element in our relationship with Him. We spend a lot of time putting our trust in our past failures instead of putting trust in the future hope that Jesus offers. We live in this tension between courage and anxiety, so that even when we do take a tentative step forward, at the first sign of change, we allow our difficulties to have more authority over us than we allow God to have. We say, see, I told you this would never work. Instead of saying, where is God in this? When Jesus says to Peter, you have so little faith, why do you doubt me? I really believe that's more of a statement about trust. I think Jesus could have said, Peter, don't you trust me? You see, I believe that most of us think we trust Jesus. Most of us will even take a few steps out to meet Jesus in an unknown place. And most of us will meet Jesus on His terms to a point. But when we find ourselves in uncharted waters long enough to become uncomfortable, as soon as we realize we're no longer in control, we start looking to ourselves to get our bearings instead of continuing to walk forward with our eyes on God. We're afraid of the inevitable mess that comes with change, and we forget to trust Jesus enough to walk with us through the mess onto the other side where there is good and solid ground. We start to rely on what we know is true, like, I can't walk on water, that's impossible. But Peter did the impossible. He did walk on water as long as he trusted Jesus to keep him upright. And that's the way we should walk. Trusting Jesus to keep us upright and knowing that when and if we fall, Jesus is there with His hand outstretched, ready to pull us out of the water. We really won't die by walking into the unknown as long as we are walking with our trusted teacher. Now notice the last bit of this passage, verses 32 and 33. When Jesus and Peter climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped Him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Now that whole thing, you really are, that kind of makes me think they sort of knew it, because they had seen Him with lots and lots of miracles. But then they said, you really, we really believe it now. But here's why this is so important. When we see or hear about others walking in faith and taking risks for Jesus, we are ready to bow down and worship Jesus and exclaim that He truly is God But when we find ourselves in peril, our trust begins to falter. When we are the ones who are in need of boldness, we hesitate. We second guess ourselves and we turn back or we give up and quietly return to the familiar. So now I've got a bunch of questions, and as always, I'm preaching to myself. These are questions for me to wrestle with, not to find the only answer to, but questions to wrestle with. So here's one. What if every single one of us would recall a time that Jesus encouraged us when we were ready to give up or when we were afraid? I bet every one of us can recall a time like that. And so what would happen then if we started looking at our lives through the lens of salvation instead of looking through the lens of past failures and difficulties? What would happen if every single one of us started seeing the places of truth and trust in our lives instead of focusing on the places where we gave up? How would we live then? How would we walk then? Would we walk tentatively or would we walk boldly? Would we give up every time something was hard, or would we remember that Jesus saves us and that he encourages us even when we try something as silly as walking on water? Would we walk as those who are trying to stay comfortable, or would we walk as those who follow the Son of God? Who are we? Are we people who are going to stay in the boat? Or are we people who will jump out and follow Jesus into uncharted waters? Which way will we walk? Will we walk boldly forward, or will we walk in place? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.